Hey, everybody, and welcome back to episode 19 of the Overlay, a poker podcast. We have a special guest co-host today. Is that what I'm going to call you, Pat? The co-host?
I guess so.
Yeah, Brandon couldn't do it. Brandon actually went on our family vacation, my family's vacation, and Brandon gets to come along. So that was kind of fun. We didn't get to do any of the things. We thought we were going to play spades and maybe play a little poker tournament at night. But after swimming all day and being in the sun, we went to like this lake in Michigan. Dude, I was like dog tired by like 9:30, like ready to go to bed. We didn't do anything.
It was hot this weekend,
but it was good. So Pat, you are a longtime CCG player. You are a, what did I say it was going to be? A serious player, but more of a side hustle for you, right? This is not your full-time gig yet. Is yet a thing that might happen?
Maybe. Probably not. So possibly.
Tell us a little bit about Pat's poker playing. Most of you will recognize Pat. We call him VP Pat, Patty Rich, whatever the case may be. You'll know him. He's probably won money from you playing poker. The Knit, you are known as The Knit on CCG Poker TV. I'd like to talk about that in a minute because I don't think that's a negative thing, but I want to talk about that briefly. But just, I don't know, give me like, why did you start playing poker in general?
So I was I've always been into poker. Like my uncle's got me in, who also play at CCG.
He does. Yep. Cinnamon stick guy, right?
Yeah. There's four or five of them that play poker though. That started me probably when I was like 8 or 9 years old. We used to play like every Christmas and Thanksgiving and whatnot.
It's funny. Cause that's how like I started playing too, is that at family parties, we'd play like nickel, dime, quarters, and play with legitimately with like change, you know,
money.
It was the coolest thing. I thought it was great, but anyways, go ahead.
Yeah, like my family, they're in like the horse racing business. Grandpa always worked at the track, my uncles work at the track, some of them train horses and whatnot. So they're always like gambling and whatnot. So when I turned 18, Cinnamon Six brought me to CCG at the Max.
Nice.
And I mean, I was playing like poker with my friends, but nothing like serious. Like, I knew how to play. I thought I was good. Like I knew the rules of the game. So came to CCG, figured out I wasn't any good. Like, I think I played the early bird all 3 days of Black Friday or all that whole weekend. And I, you know,
well, your first event at CCG was like Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah, it was Black Friday. That's on bananas. The soccer fields.
Wow. That was the first time we were at the Max. They hadn't built the pub yet.
Yeah. So kind of went from there. Then I was working at the time at Lifetime Fitness. I was 18. Hated waking up in the morning, but I loved going to play at CCG like Friday night, and then I would have to work Saturday morning at like 6 in the morning. Oof. I'd have to open the gym. So I was like fed up with that, and I started dealing with you guys, I don't know, like a month or two later. So
nice. And then from there you progressed to
I was in school at the time as well. I was at College of DuPage at that time. Now I'm at UIC for art education. I got one more year.
Nice.
Student teaching this year, so that should be interesting with COVID.
Student teaching this year. Now, are you going to teach high school, middle school, elementary school, all of the above?
I'm in the high school, so originally my degree was secondary education only, but this year they made it so I could teach K through 12, but most likely just sticking with high school for now.
Nice.
That's my plan.
High school kids are easier to deal with, maybe? I don't know. It's got to be tough parts
on all
of them.
There's definitely pros and cons in both.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, I'm mostly interested in high school. So I don't know how that's going to look with COVID, but
yeah, we just found out for my kids, my daughter starts kindergarten this year,
nice.
Or at the end of the summer, and they are going to wear face masks. That's like a thing. They've come out with it. Illinois School Board, they're doing that, which, you know, it is what it is. Like my daughter doesn't seem to like think it's weird. Like she thinks it's kind of funny, like, so, which is great. That's kind of what you want and going forward. And that's what it is. But you know, we're trying to keep positive and just kind of roll with the punches. That's all you can do. All right. So you learned to play with your family. Then you came to CCG and you did what everybody did. You played. You thought you could rule the world. You went busto. You had to start dealing and working to try to make more money to get back into playing. But now you've been playing, I mean, in a serious playing for, I mean, how many years now?
So I think I started dealing like the beginning of 2015.
Okay.
And I like my plan was I'm gonna save money, which because I didn't have a bankroll or anything, I'm gonna deal with CCG, make some money, but at the same time I'm gonna like learn the game, and then literally when I'm dealing, I could like just be surrounded by poker, like seeing how people play, like who are the winners, who are the losers, what are they doing. So I'm like learning the game as I'm making money, which was
Nice.
cool. Then I think I broke my foot in basketball, and I like didn't deal for like 2 or 3 weeks, and I was like really studying the game because I had nothing else to do. I couldn't even like go outside or whatever.
Right.
I was like, when I come back, I'm just gonna try and play for like a month and see what happens. And I think that was like June or July of like 2015, and
Nice.
then from there, I've just been playing ever since.
Just rocking it out and going
Yeah,
from
I
there.
mean, the first year to year and a half was definitely like rough. That's where the Path to Nit days come in. Like, that's where the name comes from that era of
Because
Path.
you are a very tight player.
I mean, so like I said, I didn't have much money. I planned out, like, my plan was definitely to work longer than, I don't know, I probably worked like 5 or 6 months at CCG to save money to start playing. But I just kind of hopped in early and then said, screw it. And so I had to like conserve my very tiny little bankroll that
Nice.
I set aside for poker. So Nitty was like the only way I could play to like make sure I didn't go bust though.
Which is it's like a crazy thing to think about because most players do the exact opposite. They like, you know,
Right.
they were like, "Oh, I got to get in on this one pot." They're playing a very short they're playing the short game. They're not playing a long game
Yeah.
here. They're not thinking long term. It's more like, "Well, how can I get some money right now, right here?" And then they go broke and like, "Man, I got it in so good. I was 90% to win." I'm like, "That's great, but 1 out of 10 times you still lose." It's nice to have somebody, maybe that's a little more nitty than what most people think about, but
Yeah.
you know, I mean,
I
that's
mean, I have to admit, I was like super nitty. Like,
right.
I knew I was under, like, I did not have enough money to be playing this game. I didn't know that I was like, I mean, I basically had $0 to like be playing this game. Like, I should not have been playing it ever. But like, I also wanted to take it really slow so I could like slowly learn while I'm sitting at the table. Like,
Nice.
you know, like if I only play however many hands, like super tight strategy, but if I'm at the table for 3 hours, like that's experience that I'm getting slowly while I'm also like winning money instead
Watching
of
the
just
other
like,
players and going from there. What kind of hourly rate do you have now? Do you want to share that with us at all? Give us a
so
roundabout.
yeah, so I could do it for the last couple of years. 2018 was a really good year. From 2018, I was playing 1-2 and 1-3. 1-2 was mostly at the shoe. That's probably where I put most of my hours, 2018. And my hourly rate was like 14 big blinds an hour, so $28
Wow.
at 1-2, which I mean, over probably like 1,000 hours. Like, it was a pretty crazy year for me. Like, 2015, very slow, like just learning the game. 2016, probably like doubled my income or whatever. 2017, I slowly started to move up. And then 2018 was like the year where I just like clicked, where I was just, I think that was like the peak of my game. And well, at that time,
At
and
that
I,
time, yeah.
yeah, and then I just keep going up from there. 2-5, I'm like 7 big blinds an hour, so like 35.
And as the games get higher in dollar amounts, I mean, the games typically should be getting harder to play in, right? I mean, the better
Correct.
players are playing bigger staked games. So, I mean, you're gonna
Right.
get bigger players. I kind of think of it like farm leagues in you're playing like AAA ball is like 1-2, and then as you move up, and then by the time you hit the big leagues, I mean, you're playing 5-10 maybe.
Yeah,
I mean,
right. So
two
like,
fives got a lot of really good players, and that's what I think a lot of players end up going broke because nobody wants to play $1 or $2 because they don't feel like it's worth doing, but like
worth the
you
time.
kind of have
They
to
have like
start
an
there.
ego. Like,
Right.
the thing is, like, 1-2 was, there's so many bad players at 1-2, like, that even though I was making slightly more money at 2-5, like, it wasn't for a long time. Like, I didn't, I, it was just easier for me to go play 1-2, like, mentally, just to like not worry about anything, like, knowing I was gonna like crush these guys. Where like the swings at 2-5 is bigger, or
Oh, for
like were
sure.
gonna be bigger. So,
Variance
even
is
though I was
much
making
higher.
like a little money, a little more money, but that's the thing, like, 1-2, I was making 14 big blinds an hour, which is $28, but I'm only making 7 big blinds in like 2019 for 2-5, but I'm making more than I was making $35, you know?
Right.
So like when you move up stakes, you're gonna win less, like you're not going to win as many big blinds an hour, but that money's going to be more than
right. You don't need to stakes. Because theoretically it's 1-2 yeah. versus 2-5. I mean, you have to make, yeah. you know.
So if I'm only making 4 big blinds in 5-10, I'm still making more than right. the 7 big blinds I'm making in 2-5. So,
which is nice. And you've been doing it correct. For, I mean, you've got stats for how many years now? 18, 19, and well, half of 20. Well, part of 20.
So my first year and a half was probably like pen and paper. Like I wouldn't keep track of hours. I'll just keep track of like how much I was up or down right. or whatever. And I still have those records. And I think 2017, I started putting them in the computer. So I have like an Excel sheet.
Oh, nice. Now you use an app on your phone?
Now I do. For some reason, I just like doing it on the Excel sheet.
I like Excel sheets myself. I use a lot.
I think it's just an easy way for me to like go back and look exactly, which the app does the exact same thing. But I don't know. I just liked how I had it set up.
Right. So, I mean, if you're going to use those numbers, they have to be accessible for you, which is the nice part about having it on your phone because it's literally always with you. But two, I mean, you got to be able to look at it and take kind of a step back and be able to look at it and say, hey, this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm doing right. This is what I'm doing wrong. When Brandon starts talking to me about like his numbers and stuff, because I don't do that. I don't keep track of anything, probably because I don't want to keep track. But I've never played seriously or tried to play seriously. It's always been for me entertainment fun.
For me, I just like, I don't know, I liked seeing that number grow. Like it was almost like another game for me, just seeing that number grow. Like I would go win at the table, like that would be nice, but then when I go home, enter it in my computer, I'd like see the number or like see the progress or whatever's happening. Right. Like it's just something else that I just like, I don't know, got me excited.
No, it's good. I mean, you need that. It's got to be more than just money motivation. I mean, it's, and if you're treating it like a job or like a side hustle or something that you're doing seriously for actual income, I mean, you have to take those things into account. You can't play what I do and just kind of goof about and be like, oh yeah, I won $2,000 playing PLO at the Horseshoe yesterday, but I didn't count the 5 times before that where I lost all of my money. In my mind, all I see is that one time that I won money and not the 4 times that I lost. So my 1-5 winning streak is not really doing it for the side hustle.
Exactly. You need to see exactly like if you're actually winning or if you're actually losing and or what's going on. And that's the thing. I think 70-80% of the poker players do not track anything. And if they did, they'd probably realize stop how playing. Bad they are and like stop playing. So I think anyone that wants to take it seriously, like needs to track. Cause like, that's literally like telling you how good you're doing at your job.
And that's ultimately why you play. You play for it as a side job, right? I mean, your main gig here is to, you know, it's for school and to go that route. I mean, you know,
I think when I had the job at Lifetime, I hated working like the weekends.
Right.
Or like, even when I was dealing at CCG, like I have so many other hobbies, like I take up, you know, all my other friends are off on the weekends. Like I hated being like locked up on the weekends or whatever. I just didn't like the whole like 9-to-5 or like being obligated to do something. So I think the reason I started to play was like
freedom.
First of all, I like the game, but also more like it was so I could do other stuff like whenever I want to do it,
which is great. I mean, the idea of being able to have a job that you can, you know, do what you want. I mean, that's the American dream, I think, now, is that people want that ability to like, I want to work when I want to work and I want to goof off when I want to goof off. And if you can be successful and still make enough money to live the life you want to live and do it on your own terms, I mean, that's a no-brainer. I don't think anybody would say, no, that sounds shitty. I'd rather work 9-to-5 for a boss that I hate at a job that I dislike. Nobody wants to do that.
Right.
All right. Well, let's talk about, you did mention some of your other hobbies. What are some of Pat's other hobbies? Because I'm excited to hear about one of them at least.
So,
and I do follow you on Instagram, so I do like seeing the BMX stuff. Is that what it's still called?
So like, BMX is like something I've always been into. I think freshman year of high school is when I first got into it. And I started riding pretty seriously. I ride for a bike shop, Let's Row Cycles. They're in the city.
Nice.
So like we would go on little trips or like it's nothing like super serious, but you know, I definitely have like a whole set of friends that are in the BMX community.
Unfortunately, one of them is Dapper. So,
side note on that, like I met Dapper. I like followed him on Instagram just cause he like knew or like someone in the BMX community, like I knew him or whatever. And he's from the area. So
he lives close to you.
So I never met him. Then I'm at CCG that first weekend that I've ever been there. And I saw him post like on Instagram that he was there. So that's when I officially met him. And I was like, I didn't know what I was getting myself into at the time. I just thought he was a normal guy. But
he has his moments of normalcy.
Yeah, you know, that's how I met Dapper.
That's hilarious.
But BMX, obviously a huge part of like who I am. And that's kind of why like I started playing poker, was because I wanted to like go on trips on the weekends or like go with my friends. And I couldn't do that when I was working like 6 a.m. till 2, like I'd be tired or whatever the case.
Right.
So I was like, mad, I was missing all that stuff. Other hobbies, fishing, obviously.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about fishing.
Do a lot of fishing. I have a little John boat, a couple of kayaks. Recently, most of my time has been going to disc golf.
Yeah.
Frolf, as other people like to call it.
Is it frolf or disc golf? Which one's like the preferred name?
The preferred is definitely disc golf. Like if anyone calls it frolf, they obviously don't.
They're a hack.
Like, yeah, they don't play disc golf.
I'm trying to think if there's like a hack word for poker. Like if you're like, oh, I'm going to play like 2-5, or if you're like, I am going to play the poker. I don't know what like the
cards or something. I don't know.
Right. What's the frolf version of poker? But anyways.
Yeah. So been spending a lot of my time, especially when COVID hit, like
because it's an outdoor sport, you can be socially distanced, which is nice. Like,
most of the courses were still open for at least a month. Then some of the courses started to shut down. The one right by my house shut down. Manoli actually gave me a practice basket. So like I was either just putting in the backyard. I bought a bunch of putters, or I'd take it to like a park that was open and just like go make my own holes or whatnot.
Nice. And so, you've recently done quite well are they like pro tournaments, semi-pro tournaments? So how does this work?
So the PDGA, Professional Disc Golf Association, it's a non-for-profit, but like basically all tournaments are ran through there. Like you have to go through them to run it, even though they're not physically running it. So right. There's like a Illinois representative from the PDGA that like, I was basically signed up for like 6 tournaments. And then all of a sudden when COVID hit, you know, they're all like kind of shut down.
Right.
So like our Illinois state board had to like make a decision if they're going to run or whatnot. So basically they all just got postponed.
Yeah. All the golf tournaments for me got canceled this year, like every single one. And it's funny, one tournament ran, and it's the Ziegfeld Troy Open, which is there right on 75th Street, the little par three course. Yeah. And that's the only tournament that's running. Like all of my golf tournaments for CDGA, and I probably play like 6 or 7 or 8 tournaments a year.
Yeah.
Or try to. I mean, I play, some of them are, you have to qualify into, and mm-hmm. I don't always qualify. Like, you still have to play well to qualify in. So it sucks because, like, everything got canceled and, like, nothing is running. But anyways, yeah. I feel your pain on that one. So tell me about your big premiere.
So PDGA has, like, different, like, divisions.
Okay.
They're called. So, like, you could be, like, so you basically compete against your division and, like, you're put on your division based on your rating. Rating's like a handicap. So, disc golf ratings like range from like 700 or like zero, I guess, but like usually like 700 to like 1,000's like really good. There's only probably like 200 players above 1,000 rated players.
So the higher the number, the better you are?
Correct. So okay. Like there's different divisions. So if you're like certain divisions, like you can't play, there's like restrictions. So if you're like a 900 or higher, you can't play in these divisions. So like you could always play up, but you can't play down. So going into this year, I was like a 927. I only played one PDGA event or something. So I had like a 927, which is like solid. I was in like the intermediate. That's what it was called, intermediate. There's like 2 below it and 1 above it, basically.
Okay.
Division. So it's like where your normal play. I would say that's like the most popular. Like you're not anything crazy good, but you're not terrible. But then when COVID hit, like I said, I was playing a bunch, whatnot, and all these tournaments got pushed back and canceled. And when they announced that they were going to like reopen them, there was one that was like, I think the beginning of June. It's like, I really want to play that one. And I looked and all the registration was filled except like there's a division called pro or like open. And there's 2 spots open in the pro division. I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to play. Like, I just want to play. Yeah, I just want to play. Like, I've been in my house for a month. Like, I just want to do something. So ended up signing up for that one, and I shot really good, and I improved definitely since COVID, just playing a bunch in my backyard and at the field or whatnot, but ended up taking second, so nice. In the now pro division.
How far out from first place was that? I mean, was it like a few shots?
I basically should have won. I missed like a 10-foot putt, which in disc golf is like basically missing like a foot putt in golf.
What?
So I missed a 10-foot putt on my second round. We played two rounds for this tournament. Ended up tying, like being tied for first. So we went to a playoff and I lost a playoff.
But I didn't know it was a playoff loss. That's way. Yeah. I mean, that's crazy town.
So it was rough. Like I knew the putt happened early in the second round. And I was like, I know that's going to haunt me, but the back nine, I shot super well.
I always find that when I play golf, and I can only do it for serious games that I play seriously would be golf. That's it for me. I don't really take anything else very seriously, but I take golf very seriously. And you know that we talk about golf all the time. And sometimes when I do that in a tournament, well, I'll miss a short putt early. I feel like the course owes me one. So I feel like I get to make up for it later. So it's kind of a weird thing. Now, I have also been in the thing where I've missed a very short putt late in the round. I got second place in a tournament 2 years ago, one of the City Am tournaments. And for my group of guys that I play with, we call them like major tournaments. I mean, those are like our four majors. It's all the guys from Chicago that play. They get really good fields. They don't get big fields, but like the 30, 40 guys that play, like they're all really good players. Yeah, I mean, they're just, you know, they're good, good players. I mean, these guys get featured in like CDGA magazine. A lot of these guys play national USGA events like USEM, you know, US Mid-Am. I mean, these guys are playing big tournaments. So to win one's a very, very big deal, at least, and especially for me. I take them, you know, I'm heartbroken that these four don't get played this year. But anyways, I did the exact same thing. I missed like a, I think I was, this was a Stableford system, so it's points, not shots, but I was down. I needed a birdie, I needed a birdie coming in to get tied, and then, I could have won in the last hole, but of course I hit it to like 7 feet, and I was like, this is it, and I hit a good putt, and it just didn't break and didn't go in, and then I'm like, damn it, and then that was it, and I had to like, I needed an eagle on the last hole and it's like 340 yards. Like I'm not making eagle on three, you know, hit it to like 10 feet and the guy hit it to about 12 feet and he needed a three putt and I needed to make it. But the chances of him three putting from like 12 feet or 12 feet is zero. Yeah. I mean, it's just not going to happen. And he didn't even hit a great putt. He knocked it to like 18 inches. He's like, I'm going to mark it. And I was like, ooh, maybe he's a little nervous. And I ended up missing that like 10 footer as well. So, I mean, I could have made the last two putts and given him a run for his money, but that's my story. Yeah. I got second, but it's like you start thinking about those things where it's like, man, I get so close and my wife is like, oh, that's awesome. I'm like, yeah, but like you only get so many opportunities.
Yeah.
It gets hard to do that, especially at that level where, you know, playing in a pro, I can imagine it's gotta be the same thing.
Like, so also with like the PGA, there's like different levels of tournament. So like there's called C tier, B tier, and A tier, and then nationals. So like C tier is like your local tournament. Like for example, the one I played was like a C tier, like it's the Joliet area one. So like you could expect some people from maybe like Michigan or like Wisconsin, but it's basically like local tournament.
Yeah.
Then they have B tiers, which is like regional, such as like more people from the Midwest. It's like a multi-day tournament. It's not one day. It's like 2 or 3 days or whatnot. And then they have like A tiers, which are more like kind of like national tournaments where players will travel from everywhere. It's definitely at least a 2 day tournament. Like more people are playing, more expensive, whatnot. So mine was a C tier, which basically a lot of the B and A tiers have been canceled this year or like at least postponed from COVID. So even though it was a C tier, like Joliet is one of like the biggest disc golf cities in America, I would say. Like,
really?
They have 6 or 7 courses down there in the Joliet area and they have a pro shop. Like the people running the scene down there are like,
they're definitely into it.
Yeah, they're definitely like known around the map. So it would have been nice to win one. And it was funny because like I was playing, I have like a disc golf bag that like beginners start. Like,
oh, that's great.
They use like, it's like, so like people are like, who is this kid? Because like everyone in these local tournaments kind of like know each other.
For sure.
It's like this, it's the same 20 guys playing against each other.
Poker players are the same way. It's clicky. Exactly. You get in a game at CCG or at the Horseshoe or at Harrah's.
Harrah's
clicky.
For sure.
They don't want outsiders exactly. in, although you need outsiders to make it beneficial. But anyways, yeah. well, you know,
they were not like mean or anything. No. Like, who is this kid? Like, we've never seen this kid before.
Cause I'm thinking you're a chop because you got like this beginner's bag. And
that was the thing. I just wanted to like compete with them. Like, I knew all these names. I was like, I just want to not come in like last. I want to make a fight. Like, I knew if I had two good rounds, like I could definitely place or whatever, but I didn't expect to
do that.
We weren't keeping score. Like, we were keeping score, but like, I didn't know going into the last hole. The guy asked me, he's like, we knew it was between me or one other player. And we were like, do you want to count up the scores? Cause I think we're really close. And I was like, no, I kind of just want to play. So we were tied going into the last hole, not knowing. And I had a putt that I definitely could have made. And that putt he definitely could have made. We both missed. Then we counted up the scores and we were tied. But like, if I knew that was like a super important putt, like, would have changed anything. I don't know, but
yeah, it's hard because then it's like, then it's the added pressure, which is difficult.
Exactly.
And it's hard to play with pressure. Cause I mean, actually the next question I want to go into and to kind of bring it back to poker, what's your biggest, we now know your biggest score in disc golf. What's your biggest score in poker, tournament or cash game, whatever you want to do. Or if you got a good story for both, let us know. Like, so what's that biggest score?
I'll start with St. Valentine's Day Massacre, which was this year.
Oh, nice.
That was my biggest tournament score, which I think with bounties and everything, it was 4,200.
Nice.
I don't play many tournaments.
You do not.
I try.
Although you have a really good game for tournaments, though. You're patient and aggressive and tight, and that's what you need to do to play tournaments. But anyway.
So Cinnamon Sticks, my uncle, that's what you guys call him because he chews on cinnamon sticks. Mm-hmm. But for people that don't know,
right.
He's like probably the biggest one in poker out of my uncles. And he's always like, he's terrible. I'm just going to say it. He's going to listen to this. I really don't care. Like, he knows he's bad. But in like 2005, he had like a cash for like, I don't know, like 10,000 or like 6,000 really? Or something. He has like 14, whatever. He's cashed like maybe four or five tournaments in WSOP. So he's like,
He's on
Hendon Mob, right?
Nice.
So, like, that's always what he says to me. So like, my goal for the last 2 years was to get on Hendon Mob and like be above him, because obviously he knows like I play seriously, but he's always like, well, if I look up your name, it doesn't say you made any money or like all the shit. So
that's great. That's great. But you need that little bit of rivalry to, you know, it gives you something to work for. It gives you something. Because,
right.
I mean, that's 100%. Because, like, my brother and I growing up, I mean, that's what we did playing golf. We were always competing with one another, trying to be the better of the two. And that drives you to be better in general, which is, you need that.
Right.
Everybody needs somebody, villain or, you know, teammate to make your, you know, to make you play better. So,
yeah. So,
tournament-wise, that's that one. What about cash? Like a one-time cash game, just a sick run.
We'll kind of have a funny story. We played, it was this year also when the WSOP circuit was at the Horseshoe.
Nice.
Friday, I fired two bullets in like their $400 tournament. Lost both.
Nice.
I feel like I always have terrible luck in like the big tournaments. Like, I probably played maybe like 20 to 30 either like Heartland, WSOP or whatever the case, like the bigger circuit tournaments, and I've never cashed one, and I always feel like I get like, I never get outplayed. I feel like I always feel like I just get crushed.
Get it ain't good and
yeah, and just like, exactly. So I was definitely and usually I don't fire two bullets at those, because like I'm a believer, like, you either have to fire every single day as many bullets or you fire one bullet. But I fired two for that one, because I was just tilted.
Nice.
Not even tilted, I just wanted to win. But I was like so defeated on the first one. I was like, I definitely need to play again. So I
and at 400, that's the nice thing. They're such big prize pools and a relatively small buy-in. I mean, not that 400 is like chump change, but you know, it's nice to be able to play it. If it's like an $1,800 tournament, it's harder to fire a second bullet because you're like, damn. I mean, you got to get better than min cash to even break even, and that's difficult in general. But anyways,
right. And then I was like, I was definitely debating that weekend. My plan was to, like, if the 510, since the circuit's in town, like, 510 is usually good. That, like, I'm right on the cusp of, like, taking shots at 510. So I was like, if 510's running and it's good, like, I'll play and we'll see what happens. So I go down, sit down at 2-5 because there's no 510 seat. I put my name on the list and I get stacked, like, probably like third or fourth hand. So now I'm, like, really feeling it. Like, I'm down.
So it's a great day so far. You fired two $400 bullets. You just got stacked.
Exactly. I played like a tournament for like 2 hours each, lost 400 each time. And then I sit down at a cash game, lose 500 in like 10 minutes. So now I'm really feeling it. And I get, obviously you guys know about the poker apps. And I see they're playing $10 a point Chinese poker, which I love playing. And
you're
Chinese.
A huge Chinese poker fan.
And I usually, yeah. And they're playing $10 progressive, which is like plays pretty big. And I was like, do I play 5-10 or do I play the $10 Chinese while playing 2-5? Cause like at 2-5, I feel like I could be on my phone playing $10 Chinese. Like,
and be okay.
Yeah, like at 5-10, I would never be playing $10 a point Chinese. Like, I need to be paying attention. But I remember, like, we'll see who's in there. And I've never played $10 a point on my own. I played $10 a point where I take,
that's
like
a crazy amount.
Action.
I know you just, like, played that off as, like, it's not a big deal. Like,
yeah, like,
that's kind of a, that's a lot.
So I'm like, I'll look who's in the game, whatever.
Normally
so
you play, like, 50 cents a point, you know?
Yeah. So they call me for 5-10, and I'm like, the game doesn't look good. And then I look up on, you know, I look who's in the game, and Brandon's in the game for $10 point, which, like, I think it was Brandon and Songs or something. Which
nice.
John Songs, whose Songs is good. I think Brandon's a fish. So
that's all right. Like, he'll listen. He doesn't listen to this. If he's not on it, he don't listen. So we can call him whatever
I was like,
we want.
Screw it. I'm not going to play 5-10. I'll play $10 a point because I feel like I'm better in $10 point. So whatever. I'm playing and didn't realize how big $10 point gets, mm-hmm. like super fast. So I was like down like $2,000 on that. So I lost a decent amount in like 4 hours. So I went to go get ice cream because that's what I do when I get sacked. At
where
shoe,
do you go to get ice cream at the Horseshoe?
At the Shoe. They have like a little cafe or whatever. Whenever I'm having a bad session, I just go get ice cream and take a walk. Like,
that's hilarious. How cute. You go and get ice cream.
I know.
So all right, go ahead.
Like, I'm down whatever, like $3,000 for the day. I'm like, all right, I'm done, whatever. So I go home. And then the next day comes and I'm like, I'm going to play 5-10 today. So I went and played 5-10. I got there late. I don't even know what I did on Saturday. Like usually I'm like all in on poker for a day. Like I get there at noon and I play till like 2 a.m. or whatever.
Wow.
For like, I'm there.
You put in the hours.
I usually don't get to the Horseshoe at like 7 or 8 o'clock. Like I'm there early. So I got there at like 7 or 8. I must've been doing something, but they call me for the 5-10. I get in there and I run $1,000 up to like, I think 5.
Nice.
For my first ever 5-10 session. So that was my biggest one day cash session right after my one day Lewis. Like,
I was
going to
say that
session.
Might be your biggest score and your biggest downswing in the exact same. Cause that's like the follow up question after your big, we want to hear the big winner first and then the downswing, but you just kind of gave it to us backwards, but that's your biggest downswing. And then the biggest upswing, which is great. You got a little back and, or you got all of the downswing back plus a little extra, which is always a bonus.
Yeah. And then I think biggest Chinese swing was also like a week or two after that, playing $10 a point. I only had half myself, but I'm pretty sure we won like 6,000 in one session or something, playing $10 a point. So Chinese gets out of hand. Like
it does, especially at $10 a point. Because I mean,
the thing is,
fantasy,
like 5-10,
and things go crazy. It's open face Chinese poker is what we're calling it. OFC.
Yeah,
you'll hear people
OFC,
talk about that,
especially progressive. Like progressive meaning you get, if you get kings on top, you get 15 cards in fantasy. If you get aces on top, you get 16 cards in fantasy. So like your fantasy hands just score much more.
Way
like
higher.
When you get one or two extra cards, like that's a huge difference than 14 card fantasy land.
That's nuts.
Yeah. So like I didn't realize like my 5-10, like before ever playing 5-10, I was like 5-10, I'm going to lose so much money so quick. And then like I went up there, I'm like, it's just poker. Like, you're not going to lose it super quick. And if you're losing it, like I only bought in for 1,000 anyway. And then I'm like Chinese, I lose 1,000 in one hand. Like, and then I still have to play the next hand. Like, you know, like you're dealt in the next hand. Like
you don't have a choice to bow out. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's crazy. Like money is shifting so quick, like in Chinese, which is like why I like it, but I don't know.
That's good. I mean, it's the rush. That's what every poker player wants is they want that, you know, they want the swings. Yeah. It's the action. Action drives the game. Well, I want to say thank you for doing this with us and being on the podcast. I know we jokingly like to call you the VP of marketing. You always come up with good ideas for CCG in general. And I think I take some of them. I've used some of the VP Pat's ideas.
I swear the live stream was maybe my idea.
Or at least you were definitely like 100% behind it, where you're like, this is a great idea. We should be doing this. you know.
I think you asked me at Batavia, which is like, I don't know why I went to Batavia, oh, yeah. to be honest. It's like so
We're going back to Batavia too, so.
Nice.
Well, we're going to do it during the week because it's just like, eh, we'll just make it work. It'll be fun. But I'm thinking of doing the live stream there as at like a Wednesday or Thursday night game where it's like, all right, that's the drive. But anyways, go ahead.
I think you were like, well, what do you think is like a good promotional tool that we could use? Like, I think you're talking about like a commercial or like a radio thing. I'm like, I don't know. I want like as a poker player, I love to watch like Live at the Bike or whatever the case, like any of those streams. And I'm just like, I think Dapper and I jokingly said like, you should get a live stream table or whatever and run a game. So,
and we got one and they're fun and they're a pain in the ass to use, but it is exciting.
I mean, every single one.
People like to watch them. And I know, you know, it's funny for the guys who are like, I don't want to be on it. And then like, they do like, all right, what's the, where do I watch this at? How do we get it? I mean, everybody wants to see it and it's kind of nice.
Right.
And, we don't play the stakes that like Live at the Bike gets to play to make it where like other people want to watch it. But I think for the players that come to CCG, like it's cool to see you and like playing a tournament where you could possibly be on the live stream and see yourself and see how others are playing. And it's fun. And you get to see if you make good laydowns or bad laydowns or,
you know, and I think it's a positive that you guys don't play the same stakes as because there's not content out there where you could watch a $50 tournament,
right.
Or like a $100 tournament,
or which is fun.
A 1-3 cash game, like with some really bad players, like,
and some really good players too. Cause I've seen some moves and stuff. And I was like, wow, I am very impressed.
Right.
I've seen you do things where I was like, haha, pat the net. One of them was like, you had seven deuce and you guys were playing the seven deuce game. And like, you were very early to act and had seven deuce. And I was like, I think you even three bet it. And I was like, oh my God, he's totally going to get, I remember doing the commentary with Brandon. I was like, Pat is the only guy, not the only guy, but like, he's the perfect guy to make this move. Like, he is going to get massively paid off with seven deuce, not see a flop. Nothing's going to happen. And it's going to be so much fun because of the fact that, you know, it's just your table rep is so good that when you three bet or four bet, it's like, okay, woof, pump the brakes. Like, if I don't have aces, I don't think I'm going in on this hand against Pat because I know I'm behind. And some people do it, catch a flop, they miss, you bet again, and then you win. And you can do it with like literally not looking at cards, which I think is a positive. I think it's a really good thing. And if, not to throw you under the bus or make other people aware, but I've seen you make more of those moves where I was like, damn, Pat's nit status is kind of gone.
Right.
But Brandon says the best poker image to have is for to be a little loose, but have everybody think you're extremely tight so you can make moves where other players can't do it. I bet, and everybody's like, I went in on this. It's like a dog pile. And even if I have good cards, like it doesn't matter. I still got to fight against four other guys, but it's fun. But anyways, I want to say thank you for listening and supporting CCG and being on the podcast and telling us your Pat stories and, you know, giving us good ideas. You always give us good ideas.
Right. Shout out to, also got a shout out, the Grinders, CCG sponsored basketball
team. I forgot about that. Yeah, you're part of my basketball team, which is great, which I only wanted to do so I could say I own my own basketball team that I've never seen play. Maybe
Doubt
after
we're
COVID.
Play anytime soon.
Yeah.
But.
Basketball is a tough sport to get back to. Although the NBA is coming back soon, aren't they?
Maybe.
I think so. Anyways, thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting. Make sure you hit that, you know, like button and share us with your friends. And Pat, as always, thank you for being on the podcast with us. And we will see you at the next CCG event soon.
Sounds good.
All right, everybody. Thank you.